Equipment Wielder, Blue Caster, Ishida Zazeel.
Respecting the source material, Green Caster, Zenshi.
Actually White, Black Caster, Ransack.
Loyal and Loud, Pink Caster, Lightred.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai,
Cast Ranger, on air!
Welcome, 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 one and all, to episode 22 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
We're still doing this? Fuck.
I know, right?
We have evil monsters to fight. Why are we still doing this?
Well, if this were any normal show like Digimon or something, by this point we'd have an extra cast member to do so with.
Paul, did you find yourself since you weren't here last week?
I did. Okay. I did.
There was a point where I had lost my powers and I had to go on an epic 2-week quest to get them back.
In a cave somewhere.
It was crazy.
Remote.
Is there like a green candle?
Yeah. Yeah. It was made of like the earwax of the Aramanthian boar.
Metrolinx!
And it was like infused with the power of subways. Because Metrolinx, and I needed to go and set a bunch of hookers on fire.
Oh dear!
Because Green Rangers.
And I thought Cast Ranger was a friendly show.
It was a challenge. It was
it's
crazy.
A friendly show. What he does in his spare time is no one's
it
business.
We use our powers to create a nice friendly show. It really doesn't. It's not my fault that the things I need to do to go get my powers.
We only use our powers to set hookers on fire.
We're rated PG. Paul's life is not.
Yeah, exactly. Like our powers allow us to do a really nice show for the kids, but
for the kids, we're rated PG in like the year 2020, maybe.
But unfortunately, our powers are connected to some pretty dark shit, and unfortunately, the challenges to get them back are just pretty crazy. And I needed a light for the candle.
And after all, that's really what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Well, no, it melted.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
I apologize.
The wax was boiling for a bit.
I mean...
Hey, I got my powers back!
Semantics.
I got my powers back. Got my powers back. I'm good.
Speaking of powers and the whatnot, let's jump right into fucking episode 41 of Gaim and then 24 of Tokyuger.
Oh boy.
And we are also talking today about the Heisei versus Showa Rider movie.
Kamen Rider Wars featuring Super Sentai.
Featuring Super Sentai, cause
for 5 minutes.
About 5 minutes, yes.
Featuring Super Sentai, which features another rider at the same time.
Yes. Yep. Exactly. Precisely.
Okay.
He does trains.
Yes. They're gonna run a train on you. This whole movie.
Because of man!
No.
No. And maybe somebody else's Megazord could chuck itself into a fucking train.
Kamen Rider Gaim!
Alright. Gaim episode 41. Gentlemen, endgame is upon us.
Oh, yeah.
As of this... One thing that everyone is slowly realizing as of this episode... This show is once again a human drama. Yep. All of the monsters are dead. Well, not counting Sagara. Although we do...
And random ass invest, but you know.
If there are any left.
And Michi.
Well, yeah, there you go.
And slowly
Kona. Isn't he the greatest monster of all?
And slowly Kona and Kaido are turning into monsters.
But here's the thing that I came... Here's the conclusion I came to. The thing that's been driving Michi up until he went Coco for Cuckoo Puffs... was the fact that the Overlord's presence and power kind of scared him into doing what he was doing. My first thought immediately after seeing this episode was, hey, the Overlords are all dead. Maybe Michi can not be an asshole anymore. And then I started realizing the sad truth. No, he's gone insane. He's not going to be nice to them.
Yeah, of course not.
And also, he just has Mai on the brain.
Of course,
I want to kill fucking Coda.
See, now, if this were any other writer show, at this point, Michi would have gone, oh, I guess the Overlords are dead. I can go back to being a nice guy now.
Honestly, I'm going by the laws of good writing here. I'm not going by Goku.
That's exactly what the case.
No, Michi's development has led him to no point of absolutely no return. He's not going. He's gonna fall. Like, he's going dead, or he's... he's gonna die.
Well, we know for sure, see, the thing is, there are no more monsters, and they've still gotta fill another 5 episodes with this final conflict over the golden fruit.
So now now they're gonna be developing how the world becomes that really cool feudal Sengoku era world that the introduction to episode 1 showed us.
If that even comes to pass.
See, Michi is gonna be like a main focus in the last few episodes, but honestly, it's just Coda and Kaido now. It's just both these characters just being developed as fuck.
Oh yeah.
Like, Coda's slowly turning turning into an overlord now.
Yeah, that Kaido that in this episode.
Kaido's injury is getting a lot worse, and he's slowly turning into an imbus himself.
I really hope that the overlord form that they showed for him in the previous episode isn't what they're going with for his actual form.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, absolutely not.
I think that's more just the lizard man.
I think that's just the point that Redway was making the illusion he didn't know what that form was going to look like. The point she was making was
you're turning into one of us. Be with us.
This is what it'll be like. It's like Redway used spoiler powers of some kind. But yeah,
Takatora's gonna come back and join the team, and he's gonna save Michi.
And he's gonna bring him back using Melon Jimmamelon.
No. Takatora's gonna come back, and he's gonna knock some sense into Michi.
Or just pin the fuck out of him.
And it's gonna be a Terry family reunion.
It can be both. And why can't it be Bo?
No! You should kill him!
And everyone's gonna dance around the golden fruit and sing Kumbaya!
They're gonna dance around Michi's corpse is what they're gonna dance around! It's gonna be fun! Speaking of Takatora, I just constantly keep loving these mental spankings that he keeps giving Michi.
Hi, Michi, I'm here. I'm here, Spec. I'm here from the...
You're insane! You're insane! You're fucking crazy!
No one will ever...
Shut up!
No one will ever do what you want because nobody trusts you. And this was the line that hit me hardest the whole episode. In fact, probably even the whole series. The only human not worth saving is you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Wow, did that line have power?
Guess what?
I'm watching you.
It's basically like freaking like Urobuchi was reading Macbeth or some shit because all this haunting and just all of the Takatora walking around like
more
you are
like Macbeth.
MacGyme.
Yes. Exactly.
MacBeth.
I don't hear the difference between the two stories.
Exactly.
Really
what you just said is accurate.
What did I say?
Okay. Exactly.
No, but yeah, seriously, it's like he was reading Macbeth or some shit, because this is some crazy character development Shakespearean bullshit, where it's
I'm pretty sure that is, like, Urobuchi's, like, main inspiration, that fucking story.
Exactly.
But, just in general.
For Michi, at least.
But as Michi's getting, like, a mental spanking from Takatora or whatever, like, previously he was fighting Kaido or whatever, and so apparently they both hit each other so hard that they de-henshin, and then they just keep... sucker punching each other.
Just one punch.
Just like
each other.
You're a fucking asshole. Yeah, you're a fucking asshole. Shut up, scum. Blah. And I'm just like, okay. And then all of a sudden, Gridon and Bravo.
No. Like before that even happens, another really interesting line comes up. Kaido says what we're all thinking. You don't really love Mai. You just want a doll to play with.
Exactly.
I was like,
Decayed.
Yeah.
Oh no, it is.
I just want to see Kaito, like, pin Michi down, grab his banana loxy, just stuff it down his throat, be like, take my dick, bitch! Take my dick! Take my banana ole down your throat!
It's not like I'm gonna be using it!
And then Gridon and Bravo come in to try to, like, attack
take my nuts, bitch!
And Ichigo
take
will
my
do this
nuts.
To you to how to describe it.
Oh my
just
god. This...
Fucking, okay. Gridon, fucking Gridon
wait.
And...
Gridon missile!
Like, first of all, hooray, Bravo and Gridon survived. I'm so fucking glad. And then Bravo decides, let's use hit-and-run tactics, because they're only there just...
Throw swords!
Just their only purpose in being there is just to give Baron time to run off to go save Mai. So they decided on what Bravo calls hit-and-run tactics.
And then Oren gave him the old reach-around.
Bravo kneels down, and for some fucking reason... works the blade on fucking Gridon's belt, like, fluffs him three times to activate Gridon Sparking, and we finally get another one of those Sparking fruit armor closed back up attacks.
And the worst part is, he had his hand under the lock seat as though to cradle his nutsack ever so gently.
He worked the blade and then gave Michi a nutshot.
Yeah, exactly. gave him a nice massage.
And then he caught the splashback.
Honestly, during that part where you just see him flying towards Michi, I just wanted to hear "Never Give Up."
Oh god! He worked the shaft. He worked the shaft, massaged the lock seized, and then he shot. Yep.
And then caught the splashback.
And then the other guy got it in the face.
But so Orochi really has a dark fucking mind. Yeah, Jesus Christ! No kidding.
You think?
Have you not seen anything else?
I was gonna say Lytra and Madoka.
You could argue that whole thing was basically just like a freaking metaphor for just shooting on somebody's face or some shit. Because honestly, that was the most phallic thing I've ever seen in a kid's show.
Oh. And then that Gridon missile, though. I haven't seen something like that since Dimensions.
I know, right?
Don't make in-jokes here!
And then again, Ryoma...
No one will know what you're talking about!
Ryoma being the crazy, genius, badass motherfucker he is, he just like... Ahem, I just look to announce to everyone that Mai is being held in Helheim Forest by Roshuo, who is the king of the Overlords. Goodbye. Kaido's just like, Mai. Koda's like, Mai. Michi's like, fuck Mai. Shit.
I half expected him to be like, also, there's a cleanup on aisle 3 needed, and we're having a sale on Robin Hood flower.
Yeah, it's like Ryoma being uncharacteristically helpful.
I was gonna say, well,
this is the end of my part of the
Also, there is a cleanup of sour grapes on aisle 5.
No, the sour grapes is the form Michi's getting next episode.
Yes.
Kamen Rider Sour Grapes.
Kamen Rider's Ryugen sour grapes.
I discovered, well, not so much discovered, but confirmed that the form that Michi's taking, which uses the Yamotsu Hegari Lockseed, is actually called Ryugen Yomi, which is going to be really awesome. I'm going to watch the Raw the instant it goes out, because I want to see that transformation.
That form just fucking screams Tamashii exclusive for the figure.
Yeah. You know what's weird, God, though? I was looking at the images for the set, and you know how he uses Ridgeway's halberd as a weapon? Mm-hmm. On the part of the Lockseed that shows the weapon, instead of the halberd, it shows the Budo Ryuho and one of the Kiwi Gekirin.
Yeah, well, I think it's because he has those weapons, but he can also use...
Yeah.
Overlord weapons.
Yeah,
so.
I think it's just showing the weapons native to the armor.
Like I said, evil Kiwami.
Yeah. That's why I'm still really curious to find out how he even gets this, because but it clearly is not from Redwood.
I'm totally calling that he... Because it looks like him and Ryoma find Mai first in the trailer.
But... Yeah.
So I'm calling that form is a chunk of his own chunk of the golden fruit that he takes.
Very possible.
That's just it. I don't think the weapon system works the way we thought it works, but rather an inherent decaying of oneself, in that this Yomi Lockseed is probably doing in or around the same thing to him as Kiwami to Koda.
So yeah.
In that it's not that it was his weapon. We saw it here. Guy wielding Roshuo's sword. I don't know if that's because he's an overlord, or
so you're
because
saying.
Because I'm an overlord,
I got it.
I think in this case it was more just Roshuo's corpse was still lying here. He picked up Roshuo's sword from the ground.
That's what I was going
to
say.
But he was still able to use it.
You watched.
Would
him
he
pick
be
it up.
Allowed to anyway? Does it work like Molnir?
For your theory to hold true, it would have to mean that Redway's staff, which was just sitting on the ground lying around after Redway exploded.
But then, guys, remember. Sagara is a thing. He's interested in... No, he's interested in giving both sides something to make it more interesting. So he'll probably go up to Michi and be like, you're batshit insane. You're making this extremely interesting now. Here's a power.
If that was true, that would support my theory that I discussed on the last episode about our theories for the ending. It would support my theory that Sagara is just doing this for shits and giggles.
Yes.
Just to watch it happen.
After this episode, I'm not so certain of that.
I also
really
don't think he likes Michi.
Yeah. No, at all. After seeing this episode, I really don't think your theory holds true.
Guys.
Because Sagara is just severely coming off as He just wants them to make their own choice. He wants to give them the ability to, you know,
to
he's giving them the push,
but then
to make their own decision, and that's what he's doing.
If I may,
yeah.
Well, on that topic, this show, at least the stuff around the Yggdrasil lore, is very much entrenched in Eden metaphors. You got the apple, which has power, in this case, knowledge and strength and stuff like that, and it's all very focused around an unenlightened race having a chance to come and take a bite of this apple in order to advance themselves. That is, in the mythology, how humanity basically started. It's basically a rehash of the sort of Eden sort of thing. And I sort of see Yggdrasil, Helheim. Helheim is, it was originally, like, the world of the overlords, at least, looked more like a sword and sorcery sort of world.
Yeah.
And to me, this whole Roshuo's sword thing, Roshuo's power came from Roshuo.
Yeah.
His sword was, to me, just the weapon he used when he was...
Yeah, like, he had his own powers, clearly, because he still fought crazy good, even without having the fruit.
Of course. And his power would just allow him to use a sword that size really, really easily. It's a testament to Coda's strength in that now he is an overlord, that he can lift Roshuo's sword.
Exactly.
Because it would be crazy heavy. It's to show that Coda has become that sort of enlightened being that the fruit sort of wants to make people into.
Yeah.
And he's becoming that sort of nice balance of both, where he keeps his humanity, but he's getting more and more power. So now...
Although we still don't know if his final endgame of continuing to use that power will involve him turning into a full-blown monster.
Exactly. Now, on the vein of this is all an Eden metaphor, we've heard them refer to Sagara as the snake. Serpent.
And that is exactly what cemented that this is very much a Garden of Eden mythology reference.
He's in it because it's fun.
That's exactly my thought.
He's the worst kind of evil. He's playing both sides for shits and giggles.
Exactly. That's what I've been saying.
He is.
So, like, you weren't here for last week, so I'll give you a quick refresh, but my idea for the way the series could possibly end, I'm thinking that because Sagar is the snake, and clearly not one of the Femishim, the overlords, because when he sees Roshuo's corpse, he says, "Here lies the last of the Femishim," which means Sagar is not one.
He's a higher power, I know that.
In previous, I had theorized that maybe he was the last remaining member of the race previous to them.
Also entirely possible, because we don't know how long the Helheim saga has cycled.
I don't think so. I think he's one of the governing bodies.
Well, at the same time, I don't think that entirely, because, once again, that whole little dialogue between him and the priestess of the forest earlier in the series.
Here's the thing, though. We have seen from him around episode 37-ish that he has the power to cross dimensions, like through the zipper realities.
Yeah.
So my thought is, because...
Which the Overlord seemed to be capable of as well, and to an
he
extent.
Also,
which they could have achieved from
Roshuo
having the Golden Fruit.
Specifically seemed to be able just to go, hey, look.
Which could have been a power granted by the Golden Fruit. Sorry to keep cutting you off.
Which adds to my theory from previous, that he was one of the people who had obtained the fruit before...
That is very possible.
But he also makes deals.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Roshuo addresses him with I'm sorry. I'm just going to say something. Roshuo addresses him with familiarity because I feel as though his deal... I feel like he has his own deal with Sagara. I think Sagara has always been...
He did with Roshuo what he did with Coda.
Yes.
Offered him power.
Yes, and he wanted to save his wife, so Sagara gave him the ability to do so by...
Sagara was playing the same role previously that Roshuo was trying to play, sort of, to Takatora earlier.
Yes. But I sort of see it as he's always there. And the people who are the players in this little drama that he's putting forward are the people that he interacts with and are setting the stage for what he is. He's a stage setter. He's pushing all of this to something that he wants. Yeah. And I feel like the ending of this show is going to be Coda turning to him, realizing that he's also a malignant force, and saying, no, I'm not going to play it that way. I'm going to play it my own way.
So Sagar could be the end boss of the series.
I have no doubt. I have absolutely
no doubt. That does support my theory. What I was mentioning last week was one of my thoughts on a possible ending was Sagara has orchestrated, has, like you said, has been a stage setter and has indirectly orchestrated the events of the show entirely for his own entertainment or possibly some other purpose we're not aware of yet.
And what complete, I'm sorry, and what, one more point. And what completely cements the, cements what the idea that Urobuchi is going for an entire biblical sort of arcing story arc is the fact that we have never seen Sagara's opposite.
Yeah.
We have never seen the good half. We've never seen... If he truly is Satan, if he truly is a metaphor for the snake, his opponent. We've never met his counterpoint, if he has one. And to me, that fits even more, because who's the one character in the source material, the Bible, the Judeo-Christian mythology, that almost never makes himself known?
Fair point.
Yeah. Exactly.
Tendo Soji!
Nailed it!
You're right!
But
we always see Satan interacting with people, and sometimes with God, but very much seldom. And so we always see the trickster all around pulling his little shit, but we never see his counterpoint very much.
But, so basically my theory for a possible ending is, at the end of the series, you know, he will have played the drama to the hilt, and... We know because of episode 37 and the movie that there are alternate realities. Realities in which the Invis have not invaded yet.
Oh, yeah.
My thought is, perhaps at the end of this entire drama, when he's had his fun or fulfilled whatever his other purpose is, Sagara is just going to open a zipper, step into another reality, and influence them and start this whole chain of events over again.
Yeah, a whole new group of dancers or hockey players or whatever the fuck they're going to do. Like, just he just walks in and it's just like... Oh, hey guys, I know this really cool game called the Invest Game. Give it a try. And that's how it should end. That's a good idea.
That's my thought. It's not exactly the ending I'd like to see, because if they Ryuki this again, I'm going to be angry, but it is a very likely scenario in my opinion.
Maybe he's going to pay a visit to Cronenberg Coda.
Cronenberg Coda!
100 years, Sagara.
100 years, CodaAndMichi.com. That was...
Coda Michi Adventures!
The beginning of this show, I could just see Coda just like with his arm around Michi being like, 100 years, Michi,
you and me, Michi.
No, you know
what? 100 years.
You know who would fit those characters better? Ryomon Michi. RyomonMichiAdventures.com.
RyomonMichiAdventures.com. That's right. RyomonMichi.com. 100 years.
What the fuck?
As Michi's convulsing on the floor.
Oh god, now I'm gonna start looking at Ryoba and just thinking, wubba lubba dub dub.
Yes?
Do you know how to save them? Wubba lubba dub dub.
Hey, what's the one? Just be surrounded by Invis. Hey, what's the opposite of wubba lubba dub dub, am I right?
I got a new catchphrase. I don't give a fuck! That's season one!
Yes.
Oh dear.
Oh. Go watch Rick and Morty. Stop watching Tokusatsu.
Dude!
You can,
grow the fuck
by up. The way, guys, Redway and Roshiro were dead.
Yeah. So dead!
Awesomely dead!
Can I just talk about the murder? The fucking murder?
Oh, Jesus!
That was brutal. You know what? Like, just...
I felt sad!
Redway just constantly stabbing Roshiro on the ground, I'm so happy! And Roshiro, all I'm thinking is just... You remember the episode of The Simpsons where Maude Flanders died? All I'm thinking is Roshiro just going, oh yeah, send me to Maude! Send me to Maude!
Literally what happened!
Yeah.
That's all I'm thinking! Like, he's just sitting there...
I literally, as Roshiro was like thinking, like, oh good, I've hidden the fruit away from Redway, and Redway was like, ah, it was so close! I just look at Roshiro, looking up to Redway,
yeah, I know, yeah. And it's just, he actually said during the point where he was stabbing, oh, thank you, I'm going to see my wife, finally.
Yeah.
Well, apparently wasn't totally dead.
I know, that's so cool!
By the way, the actress playing the Overlord Queen is the real-life wife of Kamen Rider Bravo's actor.
What you should take away from that is he's straight?
I know, that's what everyone's first response was.
Why is he's just like the
Why
nicest
is that hard to believe he might
ever.
Be, oh, I don't know, a good actor?
No, I know, it just, that took me aback. It's not that it's hard to believe, it's just it took me the fuck aback. Like, wait a minute, hold on, are you trying to tell me that we're not dealing with an LGBT actor in a Kamen Rider show? We are dealing with a very good actor in a Kamen Rider
That's
show?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Metal Yoshida is straight as a girder.
It's amazing. That is amazing.
That's what his wife says.
And I bet...
I just thought it was really interesting that we confirmed that, you know, not my Priestess of Fate was not the queen like we were all thinking.
And with the super...
Except, but now we need to know except, what the fuck she is!
Except she totally looks like an aged version.
No, I know, but we have no evidence to connect them. Besides,
they dress the same way, they have the same colored hair.
They have the same, like, one red eye.
Would no. it look really... It would look really, really creepy for an older lady to start going up to a bunch of kids. They'd be really apprehensive. She turned into a kid their age in order to be able to talk to them freely.
They were on a mission, shit went south, or and she gave her friend the other eye.
Or it's Mai with the golden fruit who's kind of fucking with
I Mai. Know! Now this character that's
which,
being,
by the no, way...
This is exactly... This is exactly how it was in Wizard with Koyumi. She was just this useless fucking character
the
that just did
show.
Jack shit. And then at the end of the
except she could detect the fantasy.
Yeah, whatever, fuck it.
She was
whatever.
Koyumi
Akito had fucking unknown sense. He was like, "Oh,
Koyumi monster. Was Koyumi was the alarm. At least she served the purpose."
But anyways, and then at the end, Koyomi's just it's like, "Oh, I have the you have the Philosopher's Stone in you." Plot device. And now Mai, this useless character.
You have the Philosopher's Stone
she's
in you.
Plot device. No, okay. She's not useless, but she just wasn't interesting. And
she was the glue what kept the group together for so long.
Until me. Until
she was there to very slightly humanize
until Tycho. Until my bright slap.
She was a very subtle character. She didn't. She big things didn't happen to Mai, but everything is revolved around. She's
I
got
was.
A, she's,
I was gonna say. Let's put it this way: through her presence, a lot of important shit happened.
Yes,
look at Michi.
And if
everything he did was because of her.
But now she has the golden fruit inside her, and it's fucking her up. And she's doing typical. Oh, I'm fine. It's nothing. And then just. No. Then just eyes, and I'm like.
I just saw those eyes, and I'm just like... Dah,
dah, dah. And now, literally, the next episode is just going to be the race to who gets to Mai first.
Well, based on the trailer, it looks like Ryoma gets a stab at her.
Yeah, because Ryoma's just all there, like, in his camo mode, and he's just like, huh, everyone's freaking out, what the fuck? Oh.
I love how everyone immediately assumes the correct answer.
No, it's more or less like...
But two plus two is four! Fuck!
Michi's just like... Wait, so Froshore doesn't have the fruit. Who has the fruit? Who was the only person with Froshore the last
time? Oh, one? Fuck! And this isn't a really big deal, but it just is for me. We finally get to see the third actual Rider kick in this entire show! Gaim's done two Rider kicks, and fucking Kaido did one, in, like, with his lemonade and sucker, and I'm like... Rider used to be about the Rider kick being the final attack,
I'm
and
sure
now
it's been more than that. I know.
No,
I know. Guy's done at least two or three.
Pine. He did it in Pine in episode 2, and then he did.
He's
it.
Done it with Orange at least twice.
Yeah, he's done okay.
He did it with Jimba Lemon at least twice.
Yeah, but the fact is, like, there's just not much Rider kicking.
Is that really your complaint?
Okay. Yes.
Here's the thing. You say there's not a lot of Rider kicking in this Kamen Rider show. There is not a Kamen Rider in this show.
Are we going all show appearance?
Right, I'm sorry, Paul, they don't have scars.
I'm not even talking about that. There is no Kamen Rider. When have they ever said Kamen Rider?
True.
They say Armored Rider.
I know. And yes, semantics, but here's the thing. This show could be its own tokusatsu.
It could.
Doesn't need to be Kamen
The only
Rider.
Reason they're not called Kamen Riders is because none of their identities are secret.
Exactly. But they're not... There is a Kamen
well,
Rider
for
in effect.
Except for Zangief's early game.
Gaim embodies what a Kamen Rider is, to be sure, but they have never once mentioned Kamen Rider. I don't
but
think...
But not all Kamen Rider shows do. A lot of the early... A lot of the Heisei series did not, but they were still... Kamen Riders.
Yeah. And,
it kind of went back and forth. Kuga and Nagito
Wizard
didn't.
Wizard never mentioned it.
But what I think with it... I think
like, Forze did, Blade did, Kamen Rider, or Kabuto kind of
Double,
did.
Double yeah. did. That was, like, his persona of the city.
Yeah.
They're trying to celebrate the franchise for what it is, but they're trying to evolve what a Kamen Rider does. He doesn't need to kick all the time anymore. I mean, this is not a Kamen Rider show. This is not a show about an evil organization turning people into monsters and one guy has to fight them and shit like that. This isn't even a show where the evil organization controls the monsters or anything like that. This is a much more dramatized, much more elaborate version of the Kamen Rider tropes,
but they have used it in order to create a story that can stand on its own from the rest of the franchise, and I think that's what any good writer would want to do. Mm. I don't think Genro Ibuchi wanted to just have a checklist of things that he needed to do for a Kamen Rider show. I think he looked at that checklist and said, all right, I'm going to change this one here, I'm going to change this one here, I'm going to make this bigger, and I'm going to make this bigger, and I'm going to make this smaller, because that's stupid. And I'm going to make my own project based on these tropes, but I'm not going to use them in the same way.
With blackjack and hookers.
Exactly. He decided to go and make his own Kamen Rider show with blackjack and hookers. And you know what? This show is better than blackjack and hookers. This show is great. It's well written. And it doesn't...
Blade was the one about blackjack.
It doesn't need to follow the Rider tropes to the letter. That's blackjack. But everyone who's cool is dead now. Because Redouay is dead too. He's dead. Ua. She's dead. Damn that voice.
Red dead Redouay.
Yes.
That side mouth vagina with teeth.
She's dead. Ua now.
Dead. Ua.
Yes. She is dead. Ua now. And
who was it? Who was it that killed?
Yeah, it was Kota. Kota fucking went.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah. Kota went.
Yeah.
Excuse me a second. Yeah. I'm going to regenerate my broken Kachi Doki lock seat on my own here and just whoop.
Yeah.
See, that's
way
what
to
Bob,
fucking
did
take
anyone
charge.
Else notice that Redaway's death was just kind of really quick?
Yeah.
No, at that point.
It's just, oh, I'm going to fuck you up now. Bah! No, not even time to go, like, even, you're all going to fucking die.
Redaway kind of had a. Redaway had a moment during that where she was just like, wait, why are you this strong all of a sudden? You've not been this strong so far. What the hell?
I can't die here.
And then there's just that moment where Kota's rage about what just happened in front of him sent him, like, right off the, nope, not holding back anymore, fuck this shit.
Yeah, that was weird seeing, like, I know Kota's recognized that Redaway's, like, an evil fucking bitch, but... He got way too pissed off. He's just, and I'm like, all right, dude, like, calm your shit.
Yeah, that's the thing. He got, not to question Kota being a rage-powered machine of awesome, but he seemed a little over-concerned that Redaway just killed the dude who was basically fucking him up for the last 10 minutes.
Well, you know what? He did say in the last episode that he'll protect anyone no matter what side they're on, so the fact that, you know, he was murdering this king of the overlords,
that
he was like,
moment,
you're killing someone who didn't want
to
do any of
that
this.
Moment
you ago,
that moment prior to that where Roshua was just like, okay, I see your conviction. And it was like almost like he was about to hand him the fruit if
that's,
he had it.
That's what I was thinking.
It was that moment of, okay,
also,
you know what? You've shown your conviction. I like you.
Also, Kota doesn't want to kill nobody. Kota wants to walk away from this with everybody intact and holding hands and smiling and stuff like that. And he saw a greater evil in the fact that someone was attacking someone who was down. And that's what made him mad. And he knows that Redouay has been doing bullshit. He fucking tried to control him in the previous episode.
You know what was funny?
She tried to control him in the previous episode.
You know what was funny about Redouay backstabbing Roshua? We had a legitimate curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal moment.
Oh yeah. That was great. And like I said, that was a great murder scene. It's just all the close-ups on the faces and just like, it looked like a slasher movie killing and stuff like that. But in the end, that whole scene, Redouay's death was not a Redouay scene. Redouay's death was a Kota scene.
Absolutely.
And that's just the way that they decided to do it. And they were showing that Kota is now at this point having his moment where his body and his mind and his heart are deciding if he's going to be the monster or if he's going to be the exception.
Yeah.
And they're showing him going through the worst of the emotions. And then in the next episode, we're going to see if he gets some clarity.
Oh, I'm just so looking forward to this next episode.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great.
Because now that it's finally not about fighting monsters, we get to see what everyone's really going to decide.
Yay, more riders against other riders.
Yay!
That's the reason I've liked this show a shit ton.
It's the best thing that a show can really do. I mean, there are shows that require an episodic Monster of the Week structure like Kamen Rider. It's a very easy... I'm not going to say it's an easy thing to write, but it's got enough of a structure that one can write an episode through the structure and do it within a pretty quick time frame.
So that's why I liked it in Ryuki, because it was like the Rider War, like it was about riders fighting other riders, but like the mirror monsters were just, you know, distractions and in the way of
them. It was a really contrived plot device. They were only there to feed the contract monsters.
Yeah.
But this show, rather than taking the monster of the week, it's got problems of the week. Each thing brings each episode brings its own unique problems, but it is more the overarching story. It's very
few of them have the core conflict being a monster is attacking.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's always just an incidental thing that kind of happens at the end of all the drama. Oh shit, there's a monster over there wrecking up some plastic furniture. Let's go beat the shit out of it.
So we can get back to fighting Bravo and going to do our all teams dance-off.
Exactly. We need to go to our fucking dance-off party. And we need to raise enough money
to
save
to save prom!
Yes. They're constantly juggling, fighting.
But the prom's tomorrow.
fighting monsters, averting the apocalypse, and also putting on that dance in order to save the youth center. It's Tokusatsu.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a pretty good.
I liked the discussion we just had. It was fun.
Yeah.
Before we move on to Tokyuger, just a few pieces of news. First off, we did get some confirmation that may be a little unsettling to people. Apparently, Urobuchi's not writing the final episode.
Yeah.
The final episode is going to be written by the gentleman who has been co-writing and directing the series alongside Urobuchi.
Well, okay, very least.
Jin Haganaya.
That's okay.
So, it's not terrible, but
do we have any credits on this guy? Like, what has he done before?
He also wrote the Gaim movie.
Okay.
So, while it's not terrible sounding,
doesn't surprise me that the guy who helped them.
It's not even about him. It's the fact that Urobuchi's not writing the final episode, which is kind of setting off some flags.
But this is his co-writer, so I'm pretty sure that before Urobuchi walked,
I'm gonna haphazardly have some faith in this. But I swear to God, if the ending is unsatisfying, I'm gonna kill someone.
The series is gonna end off with a dance off. It's going to end with a dance-off between Koda and Michi.
It's going to end with a... No! The guy who wrote the movie about the soccer world, that supports my theory that Sagar's going to step into another world with an unrelated sport and start this whole process over again. Damn it!
Yep. They're breakdance fighting!
Golf, yeah!
Or they're all just
going...
Golf
riders.
Kamen Rider Orange is Scash!
Or Koda's gonna go up to Michi and be like, hey, Michi, let's put down our Sengoku drivers and weapons and just have a dance-off and listen to music. That sounds totally lame. Let's do it!
And the other bit of news, the actor for Kota, Gaku Sano, I actually found this out the other day, he actually did the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge that has sort of become a viral thing that's going around these days. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, he did double dose of the ice.
Yeah, he did two buckets.
Although, unfortunately...
Ice Ums!
I never thought that I'd ever say this, but unfortunately my favorite ice bucket challenge is Charlie Sheen's.
That one was pretty good.
We watched Patrick Stewart's. It was fucking... Wow.
Classy as fuck.
I've seen Game Grumps, Mega 64, the Achievement Hunter guys.
I did one.
Bill Gates.
It's pretty cool.
George Bush.
Oh, yeah?
Which
I didn't see that one.
That awkward, against his will.
that awkward moment where you realize you accidentally reminded people of your career waterboarding people.
No, his wife did it. It's revenge.
All right, well, anyways, let's get to some trains. Shinpachiko.
Resh Sentai Tokyuger.
Okay, so... Tokyuger kind of starts off and it's on a sour note with fucking Wagon being a super slut again.
Yep. Hey, I just want to mention something quickly. I know this is later on in the episode, but yeah. Schwartz isn't dead.
There's nothing concrete in what he said.
Zed specifically fucking said, huh, I wonder what happened to your general, though.
He knocked him off a cliff and exploded him!
He didn't explode!
Itchy. The whole point of him killing Schwartz was he said Schwartz had a little bit of shining to him, and so he was trying to absorb him like he did Gritta. During that scene on the throne, he wondered, I wonder what happened to him, because obviously he hasn't absorbed him.
Yeah, so
I figured that was just him being an asshole.
I'm pretty sure that's just Zed going, huh, wonder what happened to him because I don't have him in here. Huh, he must still be around.
I'm on Ichi with this one.
Fuck.
Get guys, don't be on me. Get off.
Guys, is Mr. Garrison okay? You said that Mr. Hat was going around being a slut.
No, wagon.
Ticket. Miss
you're thinking ticket. Wagon's the other.
Oh, I thought Mr.
Wagon. Love handles in the right places.
Wagon. Oh. The female serve bot that is voiced by Naru from
Wagon's really being, really stupid, because she's like, oh yeah, the guys in Sesame Street, so obviously the Tokujus are busy trying to find where their hometown is, and she goes up to them and she's like, aren't you paying attention to me?
They need to clean out her jizz compartment. That's all it is.
Like she's actually like chiming off these pre-packaged phrases. Like, I have some snacks. Would you like some?
But yeah,
would you like some?
She's trying to get their attention. She's like, why aren't you listening to me? And then she finally turns and, oh right, you're looking for a town. Yeah, that's all they fucking even talking about.
Damn it, Wagon, go sit in the diner car,
bitch.
Yeah.
Damn it,
yeah,
Wagon. No,
Like I was trying to say to you before Lane turned yelling. Wagon, the female serve bot voiced by Naru from Love Hina.
Oh, God. There you go. Oh, God.
Yep. And the exact same character on Rail Horse.
Jesus Christ, Naru.
So.
She's doing two trains left.
But like I said, all they gotta do is clean out her jizz compartment. She'll be fine.
So in the process of them trying to find their town, conductor comes up and he's like, oh, it may be possible that your town's been, you know, fully consumed into the shadow line, so you won't be able to get to it, unfortunately. So they're like, well, fuck. And then Akira calls him up and he's like, I can get you guys in there, you know, I have a Darkliner train.
And thus we set up the plot for the next 20-odd episodes.
Yeah, pretty much, you're just gonna be going in the shadow line of, which gives me, Raven was there, I mean, he agrees with me on this.
Now, just, let's set up what they needed to do first.
Okay,
before
first
we go
what they
to
did.
Allow me. The idea is, they tried, in the Shadow Town, there's an overseer who controls everything.
Who looked fucking awesome, by the way.
Fucking
Rook was awesome.
With a fucking chest shadow. Yeah.
Beam spear.
Yeah. No, so here he was. There's an overseer, and time is essentially frozen for all the other people in this town. So they find the monster, and they try and transform. And their transformation lasts for a total of 30 seconds before it turns off, and they're all like, wait, what the fuck are we gonna do now?
Their transformation to roll call is fucking hilarious, because, like, you see them do the roll call, and then you just see them go back into reality, and it's some untransformed doing it, and they're like,
they did
shit.
The roll call again.
Then they try it again, and I'm like,
yeah.
What's the
it's because they're in the
Carter shadow, just like,
yeah. Because they're in the shadow line, their powers don't work properly.
Because they're not connected to the rainbow
because
Wi-Fi.
Because they don't have the frigging connection, I guess, whatever the fuck it is.
And then
so they finally they figure out that each of their powers only lasts for 30 seconds.
Yeah,
because
Hikari's a smart motherfucker.
Yeah, because he timed it. And it's basically what ends up happening is they all go to deal with the crows untransformed while they send Light, the red Tokyo Ichigo
for the second time
to fight the monster himself.
Yep.
And they all gave him their train so that he could transform into each color and last
for the second time in recent episodes.
To last for,
I like how they found the strategy that works.
Yeah, so instead of having all of them fight for 30 seconds and be powerless, they gave one guy all their powers so they could last 2.5 minutes.
Why didn't
it is wildly misused, he explicitly states that he needs to not waste time. Then he proceeds not
to
only
chat a couple times.
Not only does he not use some of them for the full 30 seconds, other ones, he fucking stands there, wastes time, chats with the monster.
Blue. Specifically blue.
He also shoots
for a minute, and then he's just like, stops, talks to the shadow for a minute, and then switches to red for the finish.
Also in yellow, he wastes a lot of time. I'm
what
like, you
were
stupid
you
gonna fuck.
Say, Paul?
I was about to say, did he just switch between the rest?
Yeah, he switched.
I was about
and
to say,
each one lasts him 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
So instead of everybody lasting 30 seconds and then losing their powers, they gave it all to him so he could last 2.5 minutes.
But this,
in theory, not in practice.
But this makes a very awesome point for me.
But the idea, the basic point here, I'll let you get to it in a second, Lane, is if they're going to keep doing this,
which they will,
because it's the new plot thing they just set up. Are they going to keep doing that?
Are they going to have to stick to that dumbass strategy?
I never thought of that.
And because me and Lane both thought of it, and then we both thought better of it.
Lane? Well, okay, well, yes. Please. First off, what Light did with this fight proves that Light is a one-man Sentai team.
Oh, yeah.
He can do that all the shit by himself.
How many times has he soloed?
But okay, so as we've seen in magazine scans, we've seen Tokyo Ichigo's power-up.
Hyper Ichigo?
Yes, so pretty much what it is it's the Red Resha in gold, and it's just armor.
The gold train.
Well, I'm pretty sure they've stated that Hyper Ichigo is going to show up next month.
Yeah, so what I think the Graven think is that's what's going to
sustain
their powers in the Shadowlands.
That ability,
or just him.
That ability is going to give them the fact that he's present in that form will allow the others to stay transformed as well.
Honestly, I hope they pull a fucking...
That'll just give them the edge to allow them.
What was the box thing in Shinkenger that they had?
Oh, the Inroma Arrow?
Yeah, so I hope
they can trade up the superpowers?
They can just trade it up.
Oh god,
that'd be
hope
awesome.
So.
Yeah, I like that gimmick.
Can we get Hyper Blue, please?
Or rather...
Hyper Pink!
Or how about rather than just creating a new gimmick and a new... thing to attach to
a new
thing
gimmick we're already is
why
I know it's
this
a
is Super Sentai.
Yeah, I know, but why don't they just toss Reshas amongst one another? Just like every 30 seconds, yo, here's a Resha.
No. Each one only
after
about 30
seconds
and
each one is out of power.
Yeah, so each one's out of power after 30 seconds.
No, I understand that, but if you do that, some of them are going to have resting time to the point where they can regenerate, and then you can just keep shooting.
But we don't
know
what
that resting
time
is. We don't know how long it takes. And we haven't established how long it takes to recharge, but at very least, they all lost power and then ran the fuck away for a couple hours.
That's just how I would do it in order to make it cool.
Maximize squad fights.
Like squad fights.
The way they established it this time, they all lost power, got their ass kicked, and then ran away for a couple hours before they came back to try and fight again.
Chances are
it wouldn't work that fast.
How I see the final happenings of that whole thing. Well, yes, a lot of time was wasted. You know the part where he transforms into blue, pew pew pew, talks to him a bit, and then finishes him off with red? That's like that guy on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire who used his phone a friend to tell his dad he was gonna win.
Yeah, fair point.
He's like, Dad, I just wanted to call you, tell you I'm going to win the $1 million. Oh, okay, answers question. It just, but do.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So,
oh, yeah. By the way.
I have time left on Blur before I switch to the power I'm going to use to kill you, so let's chat.
Yeah, and then he Solo brings together the fucking bazooka and just.
That was awesome.
Blows the fuck.
The domino
No, it was, and I thought that was funny, because the chess-themed shadow, the fucking rook.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Got taken down
by
Shogi.
Shogi.
You want to know what I
thought? Japanese chess.
Because I wanted to think, and I was like,
okay, I give you that one, Tokyuger.
You want to know what's funny, though? I figured if it were 5 minutes sooner, I figured they were going to pull one of those, all right, ba-doom, shoots it, power fades, the Hisatsu dissolves.
Oh, yeah, that could happen.
Well, shit.
I'm surprised it didn't, actually.
That's what I was like, is this going to happen?
No, you know what? If they were going to do that, they would have done it during the first fight.
But that's what I mean. If it were 5 or 10 minutes sooner, I would have been like, it's going to not happen.
Yeah.
Then I realized at the timestamp.
Meanwhile, back with the villains, Madame Noir is stupid. She's like, oh, yeah, it's okay. Tries to stab Zen, and Zen's like,
she literally.
She literally.
She comes up, she's all acting all nice and sweet. I want to thank you for this. You did such a good... And now I'm just going to try and shank you in the chest.
That's like, bitch, please.
And Zed's just like, yeah, fuck you.
The thought I had for that scene was, well, backstabbing you didn't work. Maybe if I try it from the front.
Yeah.
And Nero's just like...
sudden but inevitable betrayal.
And Nero's just all like, praise all that's dark and shiny.
Like, well, Nero knows how to play ball.
Nero, what the fuck? You used to be all about darkness. No, after seeing you kill Greta, I'm just like, now I understand!
I have seen the light!
Blackout. Literally! So now he's just Baron Kiss-Ass.
Yep. He's always been Baron Kiss-Ass.
Just like all true. Glory to the blacker than the
Baron
black,
Lelouch.
Black times infinity
Baron Lelouch until he fucks over the Emperor.
Oh, you...
Thank you.
You probably just called the...
Nero's
the
not going to... No, Nero's not going to be able to... Zed keeps constantly dark bitch-slapping him.
No, but then something's going to happen to Zed, and then Nero's going to take over.
Okay, do they find the Dark One Piece or not?
No.
Not yet.
They will soon.
No.
Yeah. Well, honestly, that was all in the episode. They just established, oh, we can go into the shadow line now thanks to Akira.
Thanks to Akira and that one crane Akira's had this whole time that, oh yeah, this thing can travel into the shadow line if we want. I mean, it's a shadow line train.
Yeah, Joel Rush is fucking cool. I need to get one for myself.
By the way, I like how Light...
Bless you, sir.
I like how Light concluded that 30 times 5 is 100.
No, he said 120 and then it's like 150. No. 150! Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew it. Writes the brawn, not the.
I'm surprised
brain.
You didn't mention the after so long the return of Kagura's imagination powers. Although we didn't get a graphic this time, I was disappointed.
And we know she can do that, so whatevs.
Yep, and yeah. So next week we get to see Bill Dio tank, which is probably going to be awesome because you know Zaram is a fucking wrestler.
That's gonna be cool.
His name is Akira. Rainbow.
Zarama.
Zaram is his slave name.
Oh,
my name.
Did we just take it there?
My name is Vivid Rainbow.
I love that every single time, like, that's they're trying to figure out, way. How yeah. the fuck, no, like, when Nero's freaking out, he's like, how the fuck did they get in the shadow line? So it's just like, Nero just literally pulls a Newman.
Like, how the hell did they get in there? Zaram kind of works with them.
Curses!
Curses, blast and damn that infernal meddler! How did they get in?
How did they get in, Zaram? Honoré de Ken!
Alright.
Damn it, they told him about the junction points. I thought that was a demo platform.
Speaking of Honoré de Ken, though.
Oh.
Damn
it. How dare you tell them about that secret that we should have kept? I'm not on your side anymore, bitch. I know shit. Why wouldn't I be sharing it?
I'm also going to be telling them what websites you visited.
I know, right? It's just like, at what point did it seem to him like Zaram betraying them would mean that he'd still be keeping their fucking secrets?
And now I'm going to tell them all about your subscription to BDSMJube.com.
Okay.
Yeah, speaking of Honoré de Ken, though.
Oh, God.
The Heisei Show movie at last.
Yes. Yep. And here we go.
Featured topic.
Okay, so the movie starts in the most awesome way with the fight that we've been waiting to see.
Kabuto versus Stronger.
And it was
Kabuto versus Toon World Kabuto.
I just want to take that scene and right before it starts, just dub in the scene from Kabuto.
Kare ga stronger.
Yeah, that's pretty much what that was. And the funny thing is, I picked up that Kabuto is voiced by Trafalgar Law from One Piece. So
as was Nigo, as was a handful of other people.
Yeah,
the last time I forget which movie it was, but I remember the last time we saw that many Showa writers in one place. The majority of them were voiced by Tomokazu Seki. This time it's fucking Hiroshi Kamiya.
Yes.
It's just like, whatever, they gave someone else that.
It's like you were saying, and for what's worse, he didn't even try. Everyone sounded the fucking same. Where you were like, that's Trafalgar.
Well, when you cram 30 writers into a movie, you kind of want to not spend as
he
much
voiced
on
like
the non-focused writers.
No, he voiced 5 of them, and he didn't change his voice up between. Fuck, man.
I don't know, man.
I was going to say, if Robin Williams could have an hour-long conversation with himself among 20 people, I'm sure this guy can manage.
Well, I'm sure Robin Williams is a better actor than fucking this guy.
Was?
Yeah. I was trying to not bring things there, but okay.
I did it.
The interesting thing about this movie is it celebrates a shit ton of different rider-related anniversaries, the most of which... obviously from who is the focus of the movie is the fact that it's been not only 10 years since Fives aired, but 40 years since Kamen Rider X aired. And we see this in the fact that they're kind of focused characters throughout the movie.
Yep. Also not Forze, motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, shut up, not Forze. You're not Forze.
Just Forze getting bitch smacked out of the sky by Jay was so satisfying.
I was so happy.
SWAT that fucking mosquito.
Yeah,
no. Hey, at least he's using rocket stage, which is fucking cool.
I love that. Shut up, not Forze. Shut up, Forze.
No. Yeah, just like, bleh.
And then we get Gaim's Suica arms versus Jay, which was awesome.
Yep.
And then it turns out that was actually just a flash forward, and then the real movie starts.
Yep.
Yes. Man.
Oh, God. This,
meanwhile, in the past.
Meanwhile, in Pacific Rim.
Meanwhile. Oh, hey, Decade shows up.
Yeah, I
got,
know.
And he's got he's got foofy hair.
Whenever Tsukasa
is actually a major character in this movie.
Exactly, because that's what I love. Because Decade's actor is still always willing to just do it because he's like, I like this guy.
I love Tsukasa in this movie.
Yeah.
The way they wrote him, I was just kind of like...
He's more grown up.
And that's just it. He's at that point where it's not a matter of I'm jumping between the worlds because it's what's happening right now. It's right now, it's I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly.
He's now come to, oh, so this is where the problem is. Yeah, I'm going to help you solve this problem. Why? Because it's this thing I do. Don't worry about it.
So the
idea,
so,
can I just, when he got introduced, two things I had with that scene.
The Decade Parfait?
That too.
That thing was amazing.
That looked delicious. I want one.
That, no, it's just, number
as hideous as it is.
Number one, mini Narutaki.
Yeah!
Naru Tiny!
And we still don't know who the fuck he is and what the fuck is his purpose!
No, we don't. It's been how many years since Decade?
2009!
No, Jesus. You're wrong. This year we learned he doesn't have a purpose. He literally serves no purpose whatsoever.
Yeah, honest to God, he shows up just to walk in and go like, "Onore
Jiki!" Yeah, honestly, it's like,
that's it. I'm done.
Onore Jiki!
There was another...
And then disappoops.
It's like, cue the back laugh track. Onore Jiki! But then there's another scene of them at the end. Right, like, literally at the end where he's just standing there going, "Oh my God, you guys! I like Riders!
Riders are wonderful!
Guys! What? Guys!
Decade,
you're the shittiest of them all! Guys! It's like, Decade! Riders are wonderful! The fuck you even show up for?
Why are you here?
To summon Mothra!
Where's your puppet?
To summon Mothra! He was just...
Where's Naru Ticket?
Yeah!
No.
That was amazing!
Even though he kind of dresses like Mr. Hat.
No, he had one. In the Gaim Tokyuja crossover special, he showed up for all of 2 minutes. To have a little puppet of himself on his hand.
I seriously wish that we got the puppet to say it.
I am Jennifer Lopez.
You know what? I'm going to take a scene of that puppet, and I'm going to take the audio.
The fucking video version of this podcast. You need to take that video clip. Put it over. No volume, and just have the thing's mouth flapping to us going,
no, better. Better. I'm going to take a video of the puppet moving its mouth, and I'm going to take audio of Narutaki actually saying Onore Dikeido and pitch it up.
Onore Dikeido!
Awesome.
All right.
Also, oh, yeah. And when Tsukasa...
I hate burritos and Dikeido!
And also, I'm Mitch Connor.
Yeah. And...
I'm Mitchie Connor.
No, that's the secret identity of Narutaki. Secretly Mitch Connor. I just said...
Oh, anyways. When Decade first showed up, when Decade first showed up, and Kevin could attest to this, my first words out of my mouth, oh, hi, Decade.
Dikedo! No. You're not the first person to make that joke.
I know.
Oh, hey, Dikedo.
I know, right? Alright. Now, the other thing about that scene, just that one comment Tsukasa made. Is that we have to gather all the Heisei Riders. It's not going to be that easy. They're an unlikable bunch, unlike me. I just sat there for a second like, go fuck yourself, Tsukasa.
Really? This is what we're doing?
I was like, go fuck yourself right
That's
now.
That's why Tsukasa is one of my favorite projects because he thinks of himself as like, you know, an awesome fucking person.
I'm such a nice guy. Man, those other guys are assholes.
Yeah.
I mean, they did kind of group up. I mean, they did kind of team up on me and attack me in the last episode before fucking Kaito.
Speaking of assholes, so one of the first writers he goes to see is Takumi from the original Fies.
No, and, the first one he goes to is freaking fucking Shoichi from Double.
Shotaro.
Wow.
Anyways.
I spaced on that
the
one
main,
hard.
The main focus is Takumi, because they got his original actor and everything. And the best part is, he's still exactly how he was in the show.
Yeah.
Still an asshole, and still did the thing that he always did in the early series that I remember. Someone, like, when Molly tried to, like, talk to him, be like, oh, yeah, you can, like, help me, and he's just like, no, fuck you, drives off on bike.
Also, he can't take hot things.
He did all of the Takumi things. Food was too hot for him, and important shit happened in a restaurant.
There's only one thing about Fives in this movie that I looked at, it's like, he didn't do it.
The wrist flick?
Yeah, the wrist flick.
I know, right?
I was looking for it.
Come on!
Also, they totally retconned a scene that was actually awesome in the series.
They rewrote the ending of the series. Yeah. I assume the reason is to not spoil people, but yeah. Come on, the show's 10 years old. Give us some fucking
At least
respect.
We got to see Masato die.
Yeah, it was actually Masato's actor.
Yeah, I know, I saw.
He set him on fire, and I was like, yeah!
Not quite as satisfying as the actual ending, but sure, I'll take it.
And, like, and he was being a whiny bitch, she's like, oh, why do you get to live and I don't? It's not fucking fair. And I'm like,
did some amazing thing happen in this alternate continuity that makes Takumi give a fuck?
And the worst part is, Takumi actually, like, feels horrible about what happened to him. I'm like, this guy tried to kill you!
He gets guilted to such a degree that he actually tries at one point to stop the Riders from destroying the Mega Reverse Machine so he can die and Masato can live.
In his place.
I'm like, this guy tried to fuck you over so many times, why are you give a shit about him?
So, for all of the viewers or listeners out there who don't know what the fuck we're talking
and haven't
about,
seen Fives,
here's the thing.
Maybe we should not spoil it.
Yeah, go watch Fives. It's a good show.
It's a really good show.
This
movie, for those of you who don't know what this movie is, it's basically the Kamen Rider version of the Expendables. They do it every so often, and it's a movie where they bring back a bunch of the really, really old actors.
Whoever they could get at the time.
Exactly.
Which in this case includes the original fucking Kamen Rider X, and
Zed-Cross.
And Zed-Cross, which...
Yeah.
At the moment, when I was staring at Zed-Cross as actor and that, I'm like, oh shit, you're here. Right, that's why they used Badon in this movie.
Yes.
So they picked your villain specifically for this movie.
And then played his theme song at the end of the movie.
Yep.
The Badon Empire, the villains from the Zed-Cross movie, have come back, and they've got a whole new plan to take
which
over
is,
the world.
Which explains why they of were course. In the Gaiman Tokyuger crossover.
Exactly. And it's all rooted to... not giving up, not wanting to give up on death, or not moving on from death, or some bullshit.
That's
like
basically
that.
The theme of the movie.
The story of the movie in this case isn't really the important thing because A, it's non-canon as fuck.
Yeah.
And B, as I said, this is Kamen Rider Expendables. These movies are basically a reason for Kamen Rider fans to say, hey, look, my favorite riders are on the screen together, and they're either fighting together or fighting against one another, because the Showa riders from the generation before this series of riders, or the previous to the one that had just happened before Neo Heisei, came back and basically declared war on the Heisei riders.
It's like, all of this is your fault, we must kill you in order
Their
to stop
logic
the
is
bad guys.
Flawed as
it's
fuck.
Stupid.
Except it wasn't. Except that wasn't the point, and the real point I was super pissed about.
Yeah.
Do we want to just go there right now? Because I will go there right now.
Let me just finish my diatribe.
Go ahead, Paul.
Before we do it. So, anyways... In this movie, the story is really, really fucking dumb, but it really, really doesn't matter because, as I said, this is the same thing as an Expendables movie. It's a silly movie in which we get to see a lot of examples of, like, really cool explosions and really cool crossovers and such. That being said, while it is an enjoyable watch, and it is... got some problems. And Evan, if you've got one particular...
Oh, God, do I.
Before we move on to your point, I just want to point out a bit of trivia. This is the first in-character appearance of Takashi Hongo since Kamen Rider Stronger, and the first live-action appearance of the actor since the G4 movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Since the Agito movie, where he played the police chief, which was an awesome cameo.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway,
but the thing that this is the first time Takashi Hongo, the character, has been on screen since Stronger is staggering.
Yeah, and just walks out like a complete, utter badass. And I'm just
like dressed to the nines,
I'm
ready
just like,
to fuck shit up.
Sir. Chuck was down there watching the movie when I was, too, and he's just looking at us like, who's that guy? And I'm just like, that is the original Kamen Rider. And Kevin just chimes in, yeah, Segata Sanshiro.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that was him.
It's Kamen Rider Sega Saturn.
I half expected him to walk out in a gi, just...
Yeah.
Throw him! Across the universe, damn it!
I did see Takashi Hongo's actor in the, like, in a clip from one of the, Tomoka Rescue Hero movie.
He's in that?
Yes, okay. He plays, like, this really awesome guy, just comes in through all these explosions, transforms into one of them, and just kicks ass!
Find me that clip.
He is
he is also, I believe, in Grand Caesar.
Oh, cool.
It's pretty much if Takashi Hongo decided to become, like, a tokusatsu rescue hero.
Well, he is, like, one of the OG badasses.
Yes.
But anyways, we're digressing immensely. Your point.
My point. So the actual solution to all of this. So you spend the entire movie pulling the Showa Riders need to destroy the Heisei Riders because it's their lingering attachment to the dead that has caused all of this. And, you know, it's this whole bull thing. And I can kind of see where that's coming from to an extent because, yeah, a lot of the Heisei Riders have been very... That is a very reoccurring plot point in the Heisei series. All of them lost someone somewhere. Most of them. There's been a couple exceptions.
I'm sure we could go through and find...
You can go through and find them, but I'm not going to do it right now.
Yeah.
But anyways, as I'm saying, so they go through this whole thing, and the Heisei Riders have... And the Showa Riders need to kill the Heisei Riders, and the Heisei Riders won't take this sitting down because they don't think they're wrong. And so they have this big fight, and, you know, everybody destroys each other, and by the end of it, we're just down to frigging
turning each
Kona.
Other into Loxie,
yeah.
By the way.
Which the bad guys are collecting for some reason, because you're just like, okay, they're getting... I'm just sitting there the whole movie like, the writers are getting dicked around. Somebody's orchestrating this behind the scenes, and they're collecting the Loxies for a reason. You're doing their job for them. And this is not where we want... At the end, it's just Kona, or so it seems... There's still two fucking Showa Riders we haven't seen at all the entire movie. One of whom apparently serves no purpose whatsoever excited from the final battle, but I'm going to get to that in a second, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the fucking Ambassador of Darkness, Ambassador Hell's brother.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it was?
That's who that's supposed to be. That's legit Zed Cross's thing.
I thought his that was the same character.
No, his villain is not Ambassador Hell. It's Ambassador Hell's brother who has kind of taken up the same mantle. Anyways, moving on.
Continue.
So, yeah, Ambassador of Darkness turns out to actually be Zed Cross in disguise. And the entire time, we've just been orchestrating this so that we can fool the Badan Empire into thinking all the Riders are gone, and then use Kona to summon them all to the fucking main battle area for the final battle.
When they were all there before.
And I sit there for 2 seconds and think to myself, oh my god, did we literally just pull the same fake-out bullshit as Superhero Tyson?
Yes.
That is it. That is all it was. Is we pulled the exact same fake-out we did in another big crossover movie.
I just realized something. The entire plot, the entire bad guy plan, the reason why it was structured the way it was, and the reason they plot twisted in the end in saying that Zed Cross's guy was incognito and stuff like that, it was all done for a shot.
Absolutely.
One shot. All the Riders standing together. And
in that fucking W shape.
And
yeah.
How many times have we seen that shot?
Enough.
A lot. They're milking... Have you noticed that every year or every month or something, there's a new Rider anniversary that they're celebrating?
Exactly. Ever since the Decade All Riders movie, that's been the trend.
10 years since Fize and 40 years since what, Zed Cross?
Since X.
Since X.
Like,
okay.
And the Rider Wiki I was reading listed, like, at least 10 other anniversaries that didn't matter anywhere near as much.
It's the only one that really matters in my mind, like, off the top of my head, is Kabuto was the 35th anniversary of Rider, period.
They're freaking cash cowing. They're basically just saying, hey, look, it's the anniversary of something. Here's another
It's an anniversary of this show that was part of a yearly fucking thing we do.
And here's another thing where all your favorite riders hang out together and fucking jerk off in a circle.
Yeah, no.
Jerk off in a W.
You're talking about a nation that has a festival for everything.
Yeah. Fair point.
I know.
Fair point.
Their job to celebrate anything.
At the same time,
At the same time, though,
media saturation and tired cliches
are for children.
True enough.
Shots fired.
Not wrong.
True enough. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. There's a thought process in my head that really. That
all right. Like I said, they repeated the exact same fucking plot twist from Superhero Kaisen.
Yeah.
It's like, it wasn't even, like, an original thing. It was just, no, we just stole this from another movie we did a couple years ago.
And you can talk, and then I've got a thing that I've taken issue
okay,
with.
Okay, well, I was just gonna say, let's let Kevin discuss the actual villain of this movie, Kamen Rider 15.
I was gonna say, I don't know how we've made it this far into this movie discussion and not bring up the villain of the movie.
You know, the one interesting part.
Yeah,
Was he?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. He was incredibly interesting. Well, stop underplaying that.
15's
crazy. Stop putting on Kamen Rider mullet.
Shingen Takeda, you mook.
Yeah, he is.
His motivations, though, like.
What about his motivations? They were entirely justified. He's a father who wanted the best for his son.
He wanted. Also, his wife was near. His wife was like racking herself with guilt and stuff like that. And yes, he wanted to fix the situation. You know what else fixes the situation? Allowing your fucking child to go up to his mother, apologize for a stupid thing he did, and then moving on. What
kind of hard when he's dead?
What do you want to do to bring him back as some sort of crazy zombie sort of thing?
Here's my problem.
Yes,
with his plan,
if he
though.
Wants to be able to do it.
Well, Takumi did it.
Here's my problem. Right. Here's my problem with that whole
that
procedure.
That worked!
The Mega Reverse Machine was going to switch everyone who was living with everyone who was dead. So, leaving his mother dead and the child alive.
Yeah.
How does that solve the problem?
I think it was the dead crossing into the world of the living. The way they explain it and the way it seemed to work were two completely different things.
Yeah.
All it seemed to do was surface the dead, despite that's not how they described it working, nor how it looked as though it was working.
Yeah, they kind of just flew by the seat of their pants the whole movie with
the
regards to this
Mega Reverse
Machine.
The world literally looked as though it was torn up.
It was peeling like a fruit.
Exactly, and flipping in half, inside out.
But here's the thing, the Badan Empire in this movie, and I guess in everything else, is portrayed as sort of in hell sort of thing.
They're portrayed as mole people.
The underground kingdom.
No,
they're,
I know.
They're mole people because the monster in the fucking Gaimto Kyuger crossover was a mole.
True enough, but they're trying to pull their kingdom up. I don't see how the dead fit into that.
Because they are all dead.
I think it's the kingdom of darkness.
The idea was Badan's
villains. So it is hell.
Those villains are literally people, they are characters, and even Kaijin that the Showa writers mostly took out in the past.
So it's basically a Hell on Earth machine.
Yeah. Yes. But you know what
the ending of Little Nicky.
Best part of this, though, was if you notice.
Yes, but better.
No. They're all like dead villains and monsters and stuff. But if you noticed where they were, their hell was an abandoned warehouse.
Yeah!
Hell is a warehouse.
Hell is an abandoned warehouse where they constantly keep getting their asses kicked.
Yeah, it's that one spot where they always end up getting killed.
Can I just make mention of my, again, not saying it's a bad movie, but my biggest problem with this movie. I'm just going to say it right now. The solution to everything. Like, the ending moment.
Oh,
we
God,
had this we had this discussion, and There's two endings to this movie.
Before we address the ending of the movie, one thing I'd like to address is the one underlying, I don't even know what to call it, plot point, character thing. Okay, so the plot of the villains is to use the powers of this child Shu, who somehow has the ability to flip things inside out. Oh, and they're going to use that to flip the Earth inside out, so all of the dead people come back.
Because hell is in the corner, is in the core of the Earth.
Of course,
not even that. But the thing that I kind of was left lingering with a lingering question was, who is this kid Shu, and why does he have the power to flip things inside out?
We know he lives in Futo.
There's no. They decided not to develop that.
But that, and here's my thing on
but
that.
But it's crucial to the semblance of a plot!
Again!
Okay, yes, but no, because here's how I was willing to take everything. this movie is entirely to be taken in stride, because if you look at it right from the get-go, the first time I saw something, I went, you know what, it's not canon, so fuck it. And I ended up doing that for a lot of the movie, which led me, at the end, going, you know what? I enjoyed that. No, that was fun.
No, but the thing is, all of my problems with the movie have nothing to do with the fact that it's non-canon. I went in accepting that it was not canon.
But that's what I mean. I mean, you can leave things... I don't know. I don't want to say you should, but I feel like you can leave things disjointed. And by the time that movie comes and goes, you're going to forget all about it.
It's not even that it's disjointed. It's just that it's poorly contrived, unexplained, not well explored at all.
I think they're pushing way too much information into not enough time. So they... I imagine this is going to be a wonderful director's cut.
Listen, here's the thing. You're right. It's a kid's movie. You shouldn't take it all that seriously. Also, it's non-canon. You're right, this movie, as a movie, has a lot of structural problems. But let's all get back to the fact that this is essentially not a movie in which you watch it in order to analyze the plot. It's a movie about a bunch of Kamen Riders fighting.
Here's the plot, don't ask questions.
Don't interrupt me.
I wasn't going to.
You put your hands up.
I know. I'm bracing myself.
This movie is exactly that. It is just a movie about a bunch of riders fighting. And that fight... had a very, very bad ending.
Oh, God.
The point of this movie, all the Showa writers fighting the Heisei movies, the whole fucking point, end result of that shot that they were setting up the entire time for ended because Takashi Hongo had a respect boner for Kota because he took an attack so that he wouldn't crush a flower. That is the dumbest fucking shit I've ever heard. It's the exemplification.
I want to see the Showa ending version because I'm like, does Kota let him attack the flower? What happens?
That's the ending where fucking he doesn't. That's the ending where he takes it and that Rider Kick kills Kota.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
Why not?
We
haven't seen the Showa ending, and I'm definitely going to look this up tomorrow. But my thought was that maybe Kota lets him dodges and. Ichigo destroys the flower, and he's like, oh, I'm disappointed in you. We fucking win.
But it's the exemplification of all of the problems that you've, Ichi, have mentioned having with Kota. Are you trying to tell me that, like, just let's analyze, let's take a look at what they're saying he did. He took a Hisatsu for a flower. That is not courageous. That is dumb.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the...
Even by Rider standards.
It is the oversimplification that you see every time you see Kota. But they wrote it like that.
Yeah.
Kota, I will maintain, is a good character. He's the Goku of the show. He's not particularly bright, but he's got a good heart. He's very much an everyman, and he's the one who's being thrust into the seat of power... because he's the best man for the job and some of the powers that be feel that way. This is goody-goody saccharine, that gave me diabetes bullshit protagonist fapping at its worst.
Oh, yeah.
Like, who? What well-written character would say, oh no, there's a flower in my way, better take this kick that could kill me?
Sure, he did it because he's a goody-goody, but... at no other point in the show has Kota expressed a desire to protect plant life. In fact, for the majority of the show, plant life has been his opponent.
Well, it's an oversimplification of his desire to have absolutely nothing be hurt by
conflict. Yeah, it's protecting life in any form.
But it is an oversimplification. It's a drastic oversimplification of his character, and it sounds really contrived. It sounds like they were really super duper trying to find a way for this whole conflict to end. Because they'd written... in a lot of this movie, I feel as though there were a lot of moments where they'd written themselves into corners. Like, we've written ourselves into a corner, guys. What are we going to do for this? Oh, this guy was secretly Zed Cross all along, and he was working against them all the time, despite what we've established up until now.
Hi, Shin Kamen Rider.
Exactly.
Where have you been this whole movie? Showing up for the final battle, apparently been dead this whole time?
Exactly. And how do we finish this fight? How can we have an end to this fight that shows Coda as the great hero of Kamen Rider that he is, and that gives him a moment to have the original Kamen Rider say, attaboy, kid, that's fantastic. Oh, we'll have him fucking not want to destroy a flower and have him take a heroic sacrifice kick to the chest for it.
I think the most disgusting part of that is how they choose to answer this incredibly hyped up campaign that all of the fans got to vote on, and it's been, like, hyped to shit, and that was how we choose to decide who wins Heisei versus Showa?
I really just wanted to be... the Showa Rider's problem is resolved, and everyone dies. It's non-canon, so let it happen.
Yeah, really.
I want the Showa ending to just be, we did it.
I see the writing of this movie as, okay guys, we're doing another anniversary movie. We got the checklist of things, exactly what Urobuchi seems to be against with Gaim. We got the checklist of things that we need for an anniversary movie. Let's go through fucking all of it. Okay, we're writing the story. Oh shit, we don't know how to do this. Bullshit. Oh shit, we don't know how to do this. Throw some bullshit at it.
You know, based on that whole protecting the flower scene, I would put down money that whoever wrote that movie did not watch Gaim.
Yeah. In the end, it was an enjoyable sit down and watch the writers all get together movie again. But it's definitely, for me, the worst one.
Yeah, like, if you're gonna watch a writer movie, an anniversary movie, just for the purpose of, hey, look, it's all the old writers, there are way better movies to do so with.
Listen, you can't just... Kevin, I know you're making that what face right now, but you cannot just use shut off your brain, it's a stupid movie.
It was a good movie!
No, it really wasn't.
No, it was!
Parts of it were good, but they were drowned out by the overall terribleness.
It was enjoyable. The characters were well written. There was plenty of action, and the action was...
Who was well written?
What do you mean, who was well written?
X was well written.
Okay, X was well written.
Tsukasa was well written.
Okay, yes, X and Tsukasa.
Shotaro was properly written.
Yeah!
Okay.
Shotaro was a parody of himself!
Okay, here's the thing. Here's
I'm a serious detective! I'm finding lost cats and turtles!
Well, so, you know, after you...
Hang on. I'm going to argue that. That's not a parody. That's the actual character straight ripped out of Double.
No, I know, but he never even did anything that stupid in his own show.
Yes, he did.
Can you accept...
He was taking whatever the fuck.
Kevin, can you accept this? It is a string of really, really good performances and well-written individual characters that suffered from a weak, lacking, overarching story arc and structure.
Well, yeah.
There.
Okay. That's the point we're trying to make.
But that doesn't make it bad.
It's the weakest of the films for me. It is the weakest of the set of crossover movies where the writers all get together.
I thought there was a lot worse, but okay.
I haven't watched them as many times.
Like, if I'm gonna watch,
it was the one I.
Like, if I'm gonna watch a writer movie for nostalgia purposes, I'll go watch O's Deno All Rider because that one was better than this, in my opinion.
Agreed. That had crucifixion in it. That was
several greed.
First off,
nailed it.
First off, to counter your Shotaro point, he really has nothing else to do because, you know, all the dopants are fucking gone.
No, I know.
Everything's gone.
And he doesn't exactly solve murders.
Yeah, he doesn't really there's not gonna be murders in the city.
There could be murders in Futo.
That's another possibility for that kid.
Overall,
nobody looked at that. He's from Fudo. Maybe he's a dopant.
Yeah, maybe there was a conspiracy to send that truck into Shu and kill him.
Honestly, we got to see some pretty cool rider fights. We got to see Shotaro as Kamen Rider Joker fight both Black and Black RX simultaneously.
That you just reminded me. I'm sorry. Early in the movie, he's just like, yeah, no, Kamen Rider Joker. Okay, so this is after Phillip's gone.
And then Double
later
shows up.
In the movie, actual Double.
Yeah.
Well, they just couldn't get his actor.
Continuity.
No!
They couldn't get Tsutomu.
I knew they couldn't get Philip, but I was like, okay, you established this at that point where he doesn't have Philip. So you have Kamen Rider Joker. So, okay, but you just pulled actual Double. So why did he bother with actual Joke? Just
Kamen Rider Joker earlier. Because we could have just done that.
Because Black
when,
Riders.
Because when you take that screenshot of all the riders standing in that W...
You really want Joker instead of Double in that huge lineup?
I do.
I know.
No, I'm on your side. But
I know what you mean.
No, you know what? Lane came up with a good point. Why was it just Kamen Rider Joker? Because he was fighting Kamen Rider Black.
Exactly. That's exactly why it was.
Precisely.
Like the only reason. I can just imagine the guy
like
playing
Black Rider. Black Riders, eh? I feel kind of camaraderie.
Now,
I can just imagine the actor playing Shotaro was like fan squealing on the inside as he was filming that because he is a Black fan.
Now, overall, 15 was a cool rider, but honestly, 15 was written just as an updated version of Decade.
And
that's
that was
all
the,
he was.
That was the
all,
joke.
Ha! You have the powers of the past 9 riders plus your own? Well, guess what? I have the powers of all the 15 riders, including you! And then proceeds to kick his ass with his own fucking powers!
That was actually pretty cool.
And no, the way that the Decade Arms even comes out is fucking cool. You just see the barcodes go on
the Decade
thing.
Head, and then the barcode things fly onto it.
Oh, okay, because this is pretty much me, because, like, these guys are better, like, you know, going in-depth with the story and writing and shit like that. Me, I'm all about, oh, this is cool. But, honestly, Gaim Henshin's at one point, and this guy's monster's throwing spears at him, and the fucking arms is just spinning around, blocking all these fucking spears.
That was actually really good.
Decade's, like, about to fucking transform, and, like, as he's transforming, a monster's shooting at him, and the barcodes deflect the fucking blast while he's transforming, and I'm like, that's what I like. I like that that shows that, during a transformation... Well, except for when Michi shot Koda in the back, but that was because he shot him in the back. But if you attack a rider from the front while he's transforming, you will not do anything to him.
See, that's the thing. That's one of this movie's very few redeeming points, is that it had a lot of really good individual shots.
I think I can put this into one single criticism that we can all agree on and that can just tell people how this movie is. In one sentence... This movie will make a great series of YouTube videos.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You shouldn't watch it as an overarching film because the story's just... Unless you can deal with a slightly weak and reaching story with a few really, really bad plot holes and a few really contrived moments, this movie is going to make a great YouTube playlist at some point.
Also, two other things quickly I want to mention. One, Guy Michigo Arms is fucking badass. I consider that to be the kind of new Oz Tamashii. So, like, if they release a figure arts of Ichigo Arms, I will buy it because it's pretty cool. It's cool. The weird thing was that when he summoned the fucking arms, it omnomed 15, and I was like, "What the fuck is
this hell?"
Ichigo tried to Amazon, and
channeling
I was like,
"The power of Amazon, which is also in that lock scene."
I guess that's the point, because technically, like, that's using all the Showa riders, so I guess it was still cool. My second...
He was so overcome by the power of a grasshopper that he thought 15's head was a tasty leaf.
My second point was, that's a complaint for me, was that they show, like, Wizard sums up, because, like, they show O's, Forza,
like,
Wizard,
the Neo-Hase
and
riders.
Kiva for some reason.
And just Kiva.
Know. Yeah, just Kiva. But... Then I hear Haruto's actor actually speaking, and I was like, oh, okay, so, I'm like, so what, they could afford his voice, but they couldn't afford it. Then later on, he de-henshins, and it's actually Haruto, and I'm like, so during this entire movie, you couldn't have put Haruto somewhere in
they
this
probably
movie.
Only, they probably
he was
only
nowhere
had
near
him,
the focus. Yeah,
they probably only had him for like a day of filming, and so
probably,
they got as much out of
him. His actor is doing another film at
this
time.
Yeah, I understand, that's probably
so
why.
He was probably busy, they had him for a day.
But he was the last year's rider. Like, you could have put him in a bit more.
That was what the last movie was for.
I disagree. He's Wizard.
Yeah. Also, there's another point in this movie that we've all kind of ignored, because we seem to be doing that a lot. Can we talk about how fucking awkward it was to see Ryugen and Zangetsu Shin fighting together like brothers?
Not!
No, because remember,
I know where this fits into the timeline. It's while Michi was working for Takatora. Yes. So I completely understand why it happened.
It's surreal.
Just seeing it happen was just like, oh.
Again, another thing. And the worst part, that one comment when they go in to fight, like in the final fight.
I'll follow you anywhere, older brother.
Don't worry, big brother. As long as I'm by your side, I know we can win. I sat there and I was like, oh.
And he also was about to see Takatora get defeated. You just see him go like, Nissan! I'm like, you don't love your brother that much enough to, you know, worry about his well-being.
No, but he wants to put on the face that he does.
Yeah. But that was the reaction they wanted from everyone.
And then also, another case of the non-canon Kaido's bored.
I don't think that was the reaction they wanted, because this movie did come out while Michi was working for Takatora, so we don't, everyone doesn't quite hate him as much as we do at this point.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
But it's the reason that they just came out of nowhere and they fought for no reason. Oh, look, Kaido and Gouda are battling. Let's get strut in.
Oh, yeah, that awesome shot where Kaito flicks cards into Black and Black RX's eye plates.
That was weird. You know what?
I found that offensive.
He hasn't done that whole...
That wrestled my Jimmy.
He literally hasn't done that whole card-throwing thing since the last time we saw him do it, where he flicked a card into a plasma screen TV and he broke the television with it. I was like,
which, despite being stupid, was awesome. I think
it was awesome, but I was like, you can't do
that. This is Kamen Rider Black we're talking about here, the bosses of bosses, baddest of motherfuckers.
Oh yeah, I think Trafalgar also voiced Black.
Yeah. He did. And Nego.
Also, can we please stop portraying Black and Black RX as two completely
separate? Yeah. Decade
set it up like that.
Ever since Decade.
Decade decided to set it up so that they were two
separate people. They are both Minami Kotaros!
As Decade did it, so they're both Minami Kotaro from two different realities.
Wait, what am I saying? The way that they do this, renders Black RX entirely non-canon!
Exactly!
Yeah.
It is its own canon.
This is the best day ever from the worst!
I know, right?
Now I don't need to care about Black RX because it's an alternate universe.
Well, that escalated quickly.
Now I can just treat Black as the last Showa series.
But overall, I thought it was...
Hashtag headcanon.
Overall, I thought it was a cool movie. Personally, still my favorite is... I probably agree with... Yes, the Denno O's All Riders movie was good. I also did like Superhero Tyson, though, because...
I didn't like either Tyson.
I liked Tsukasa and Marvelous Dukeoff, even though in the end it was just...
Superhero Tyson was the dumbest piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's another example...
There's a reason people abbreviate it as shit.
It's another example of just how these movies... They write themselves into a corner, then all of a sudden, hey, plot twist that comes right the fuck out of
nowhere. Like Dien the villain because he's being a whiny bitch.
Or in the case of Superhero Tyson, we're suddenly going to make Dien the villain of this whole movie right at the end for no reason aside from he's being a whiny bitch right now.
That's what I mean. They wrote themselves into a corner. They took the most unlikable character they were writing and made them the villain.
You mean the one that they never bothered focusing on much in the first place?
Exactly.
And he just suddenly...
Super Sentai things happen.
The cameo right at the end during the big fight when fucking the leader of the...
Randomly King from Kyoryu.
No, it's because the villain turned into a giant dinosaur, so fucking Kyoryu Red runs up, defying Sentai logic by showing up on his own, but then again, with Tokyuja, that's kind of been a thing lately.
And
he's like, oh, you're fighting a giant dinosaur! Don't worry, bros! I got this!
Gabutira!
Summons Gabutira, who then, clusterfucks himself into a train and combines with Tokyo, because the Tokyujers also show up because current!
Don't forget Denno. Denliner goes to combine with Tokyo, makes Denno sword.
The actual sword form
head
appears on Tokyujer or Tokyo, and then, can we have that, please? Because I like that!
How has no one made the comment that Xenomorph Ghost Rider T-Rex was in this movie? It was amazing! Yeah. That is the best tokusatsu monster I have ever seen!
And then we just saw, all of a sudden, Paul's face go from happy to, because the Tokyujers defeated it.
Yep.
And Denno! And Denno's just the entire time.
Featuring Denno!
And the entire time, Denno's like,
why am I the legs?
I'm the legs?
Wait, what was the name of that Megazord variant? like something
Tokyo Kyoryugin featuring Denliner.
Yeah, featuring Denliner.
It's the Snoop Dogg of Megazord.
I know.
You know what the best part of that was? I like how when like the Denliner attaches to the feet, we somehow get a second head car from the Denliner. Where the fuck does that come from?
Which is up the spine.
I don't know. But no, anus. Fucking Tokyo Denliner, I'm calling it, was actually pretty cool, and it proves that something can be greater than the sum of its parts, because I hate Deno sword form, I hate the Denliner, and I hate Tokyo, but Jesus Christ, I would buy that.
Yeah, but they still...
Ladies and gentlemen, my opinion of Joe Climax.
There you go.
They took my least favorite Sentai team, they took my least favorite ride... Well... one of my least favorite riders, and they turned him into a giant robot. I'm sorry, I cannot approve.
They took the dumbest
look. And then, like, for his Hisots, they summoned every other Deno train, including Zeranosis for some fucking reason.
The fucking Zero Liner and both Naginata. The... And I was like, okay, what?
Sure, why not?
But I love Death Rex. Death Rex was amazing.
Is that what it's called? I didn't bother.
No, it just looks exactly like a creature from a manga that I read a while ago.
Okay.
And I don't remember the name of it, but it's really, really good. I'll plug it later. But yeah, it looks a lot like Death Rex. It's a thing from that thing.
Anyways, we kind of jumped back and forth in continuity-wise, but fuck it. This movie was a lot of interesting shots and happenings amidst a terribly explained plot.
Like I said, it's going to make a great YouTube playlist.
Exactly, and that's pretty much our thoughts on the movie. Anyone else have any closing points?
I think Gaim's dead.
We're playing with a Gaim arms change figure, and we stab the sword through the openings in the orange.
I feel like, I mean,
dead, you guys.
For no reason that we've already gone over, but just real quick around the room, I'm probably going a 7.5 out of 10 on this one.
6 for me.
I really don't like number ratings, but if I have to, I would go with 5 or 6.
Yeah.
4.5, because that ending pissed
honestly,
me the fuck off.
Yeah.
The Gaim summer movie, like, yes, I'm going to watch it. Like, I'm not looking
forward. That's the one where
I'm honestly, for. It's always the movie war movies that I look forward to the most. Because it's just awesome, because they always establish, like, an after-plot thing for the last year's rider, and then mix it up with the new current rider, which I always love. That's why I love the Wizard Forze Ultimatum movie so much, because they established a great afterplot for Forze, which I fucking loved.
It's with a...
Nothing involving Forze is good.
Fuck you! He destroyed his driver to prove a fucking point!
And then stole it from himself in another time.
Exactly.
I think that's fucking dumb.
No!
I think Gentaro should have thrown himself into the fucking water.
Fuck you! He's the best... fucking for daggers.
Throw him in the fire.
Obviously, Takashi Hongo could kick his ass, but anyways.
Guys.
We're getting way off point.
I have to it's with a heavy heart that I have to give this movie a 5 out of 10, because I'm so very split on it. Because on one side, I really want it's not as though I dislike it or think it's atrocious or anything like that. I don't have any strong negative feelings towards it. Because it does look really, really cool. And like I said, it'll make a great YouTube playlist or a great top 10 moments from this movie video someday. However, as a person with respect for stories and structure, and I'm learning to write for television and film and such like that, from the standards that I have for the things that I watch, I cannot give it a full pass. It's 50-50. It's a 5 out of 10. It had enough enjoyable things that I don't admonish it, I don't hate it, but I don't like it either. It's just, it's not... I enjoyed it, it was a fun one-time watch for me.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna go
it's
back
It's not
and
something
watch
we would any of us would go back and watch again.
I disagree.
You're gonna go back and watch the 15 clips.
I'll watch the movie again, if...
I was gonna say, I liked the movie.
You already watched
I liked
it,
it
twice.
The story was kind of bullshit, but I liked it.
I did watch it twice because I watched the Raw when it came out.
My
think it's silly.
He watched it on his own and then again with me.
My ranking just comes from the fact that, you know, standards and stuff like that.
I've got
high standards for the things that I watch. And as enjoyable as it was to watch, it was a mess to
comprehend.
Assess.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was a mess to come to
exactly
assess. And I'm not gonna say don't watch it, because really, for what it is, it's not
unenjoyable. But it's also not something that you're... If you put any thought into it, it's not something that you're really going to go super crazy over.
Okay.
5 out of 10. 5 out of 10.
Well summarized.
Alright. Well, this is a long episode.
Wow. No, it's a normal sized episode with an abnormally large ass. Yeah.
Yep. Dead ass. Okay, so that's pretty much us done. Join us next week when we finally see Yamatsu Higuri Arms, Ryugen Yomi, and more Tokyujers visiting Shadow Towns, I guess.
Yay. I guess, I think, maybe.
Probably. On the way to the Dark One Piece.
Bye, guys!
Bye, guys.
As usual, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTubes and all the things. It's hot, I don't give a fuck. Bye!